Part 2. Zanzibar. The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. Socrates. V-84. Denver International Airport, Denver, Colorado. With Birchwood locked down for another 12 hours and with a hotel the last place he wanted to be after the foiled Geosov plot at the Buenos Aires Gravesen, Dan McCarthy sat alongside Emma in a small room at Denver International Airport. This Spartan room, bunk beds and all, was normally reserved for individuals facing immigration complications that seemed likely to be solved eventually, but to take more than a few hours. The airport's immigration and security staff all proved extremely accommodating, going out of their way to make Dan and Emma feel safe and welcome. But Dan knew beyond a doubt that there were other and distinctly less personable agents lying unseen nearby. There had been agents lying unseen nearby for a year, he now realized, and the violated feeling of having been closely watched and surveilled for so long was like a film of dirt on his skin. He couldn't shake it, and suspected he never would, angrily considering all the private and intimate moments the agents would have seen or heard. The conspicuous camera on the ceiling of the airport's holding room made Dan and Emma wary to speak much, and certainly ruled out any physicality, but pondering their obvious current surveillance only made Dan think that it had been like this all along. Really, the only difference now was that the visible camera made it known. On reflection, this colossal invasion of privacy bothered him even more than the fact that a government doctor had covertly placed a pain monitoring device under his skin. But while these two very different kinds of violations were troubling in their own ways, it did seem clear to Dan that the doctor in question had acted in accordance with political orders rather than the supposedly sacrosanct Hippocratic Oath. His anger was so strong that he was paying little attention to William Godfrey's inauguration speech as it played on the room's surprisingly large TV. The words so far had gone in one ear and out the other, with Emma occasionally adding a word or two of commentary which registered only slightly more fully in Dan's mind. But as the speech appeared to be nearing its end, the news feed on ACN abruptly turned black. Dan and Emma turned to each other. Whatever was happening, it couldn't be good. "Well, clearly we're experiencing some kind of technical issue," the news anchor said, his confused face suddenly filling the screen. "I'm being told that all feeds from the GCC have been lost, so please do bear with us here on ACN while the tech heads in Buenos Aires fix whatever has gone wrong. But Chairman Godfrey has covered a lot of ground already, so let's hear the views of our in-studio analysis team on the speech so far. James, what do you make of—" The sound of the room's door being urgently thrown open tore Dan's attention from the screen. "Are you okay?" a black-suited agent asked, bursting into the room with an expression on his face befitting a man who had just seen a ghost.
Yeah,
Emma replied, although the question had clearly been directed primarily at Dan.
"What's going on? Why did the feed die?"
The man placed a finger to his ear, concentrating on the words coming through a barely visible earpiece. "It didn't die," he relayed. "It was cut. All signals in and out of the GCC building had been blocked." Very suddenly, and very noticeably, the man's eyes widened in shock. "What are they telling you?" Dan asked, rising to his feet. "What's happening?" Holding a finger out to beg Dan's patience, the man listened carefully, then spoke in evident reply to an unheard question. "Yes, they're both fine. No indication of any contact. Do we know exactly what this Oh, definitely? And do we have a reliable visual?" "No. So when do we expect one?" "Okay." "Well," Dan said. The agent rubbed his chin, somewhat flustered by the news he had just received and the unexpected position in which he now found himself. "Well, communications in and out of the GCC building were cut to prevent the news I've just heard from reaching any of the media personnel who are attending the inauguration. They clearly didn't want Chairman Godfrey to be caught off guard in front of all those live cameras, and I can see why. Intelligence from Tanzania is telling us that an alien object has just been discovered at a beachfront hotel complex. I'll be surprised if I can show you an image before it's on that TV, because our intelligence presence on Zanzibar isn't exactly enormous." Dan, truly stunned by these words, didn't react.
Zanzibar? Emma mused. How random is that? Why would the messengers put...
We don't know what they did, the agent interrupted. For all we know, this is a deliberate distraction from the inauguration. Tanzania is an ELF member with extremely close links to Beijing.
You think this could be a hoax? Emma asked.
The agent nodded. I think it could be, to be clear. Not that it is. The sun is rising over Zanzibar as we speak, and our limited local intelligence confidently tells us that there was no object on the beach when the sun went down last night. So whatever this thing is, it seems to have appeared sometime in the last 11 hours or so. Emma looked squarely at Dan.
Did you feel anything?
Glancing between her and the agent, he said nothing. Mr. McCarthy, the man said, his tone firm without being confrontational. I can understand your anger over how certain things have been handled recently. At least I can try to understand. But please, it's crucially important that you tell us if you have experienced any kind of feeling or sensation since leaving Italy, physical or mental, that might point towards the messengers having planted this object. If I were in your shoes, I don't think I would feel too much like cooperating right about now, but I hope you'll understand that this is a very important issue. Dan held the man's eyes and gave a slow and exaggerated shrug, walking a fine line between defiance and petulance. He then shifted his weight, exaggerating the movement again, and turned back to the TV. You've been watching me close enough to know that the messengers haven't contacted me since your buddies kidnapped me last night, so if you don't have anything useful to tell me, feel free to get out of my sight at any point.
Dan, Emma scorned.
No, I understand, the agent said calmly. I would feel violated too, Dan, but I really do hope.
Oh my God,
an interrupting voice blared from the TV.
And this is from a tourist at the hotel? Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, I think we have our answer as to why communications have been cut. The following footage has just reached our news desk from the island of Zanzibar, and, well, it speaks for itself.
The agent at Dan's side reached for his phone as it buzzed in his pocket, and his jaw dropped at the sight of the image he had been sent. Let me see, Dan said, turning to him. Dan's firm belief that the supposedly alien discovery would be nothing more than a distracting hoax collapsed in an instant as his eyes fell upon an enormous object so ornate that he struggled to comprehend how any humans could ever have constructed it. When the shaky mobile phone camera zoomed in as far as it could, showing several local police officers and decidedly foreign-looking officials as they stood around the incredible find, Dan caught sight of a particular series of jewel-like adornments which appeared far more prominent than the others covering the remarkable object. Somewhere deep in the recesses of his mind, he knew he had seen the shape of this conspicuous jewel arrangement before. Dan had to stifle a gasp when the realization finally hit him. Holy shit, he thought to himself. It's real.